there's always another angle. Bob's Angle. Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Top of the hour for this Thursday, October the 20th. Yes, I have to pull the paper a little closer to me there, Shannon. Damn it, couldn't see it. Uh-oh. Look out.
Perhaps it's your glasses, Bob.
Must be a bad prescription.
Or they're dark.
No, I think it was just, you know, what it actually was? It was just the way the light was hitting it.
Okay, Bob.
Hang on. Give me the eye test here. Yeah, I can't read it. John Shannon's over there. A little bit later on the program, Nick Kyprios will wander in here. We're contractually obligated to accept him. Charles Grantham is the former executive director of the NBA Players Association. There's chatter that maybe they're gaining ground on this thing. Maybe there's a deal at hand. I don't know. We'll talk to Charles about that. Dewey Bozella, 26 years in jail for a murder he didn't commit. While he's in prison, he's boxing, dreams of the day where he can have a pro fight, gets out of prison.
I actually watched the highlights of the fight.
And?
He's built.
Well, he's...
Holy smokes.
52 years old.
Yeah,
he's like a rock, isn't he?
I was like that, say, at 51, but not 52.
So Dewey will join us on the program, and then Tim Cowan of ESPN, the magazine.
Actually, a lot of people wanted to talk about Dewey after listening to Kiefer wax poetic about him last night. Your buddy Kiefer.
Oh, yeah. Kiefer Sutherland was on with us, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one of our favorite people from the pages of USA Today. Here's Christine Brennan. Hello, Christine. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. John, Bob, how are you guys?
I don't know how we are. We're here. Our attendance record is very good today. We're present.
Right, 100% attendance.
Yeah. I guess the end isn't in sight. You like to think that we are close to reaching the point where race or sex doesn't matter and jobs are available to all who are competent enough to apply for them and subsequently get them. But there are a few barriers that have not yet been breached. And one would be a woman as a general manager of a major professional sports franchise. But is there a chance, do you believe, that may too come to an end?
Yes, I think in our times, I'm not talking next week or next year, but yes, absolutely. I think when you look at some of these clubs and teams in all sports, the New York Yankees have quite a few women working for these. I think it's probably more women than we think working for a lot of these clubs. And I'm not just talking about assistants, administrative assistants, secretaries. I'm not just talking about that. I mean, it's still not many, and percentage-wise, it's not good. But there are some women making major decisions and working their way up, assistant GMs, things like that. And so, again, I'm not predicting it tomorrow or even next year, but I think in the next 10 years or so, yeah, probably.
Christine Ng was apparently the shortlisted for a number of jobs. And allegedly was the runner-up in Seattle a couple of years ago. And now there is speculation that maybe Artie Moreno, the owner of the Los Angeles Angels, may be interested in Ms. Ng for the general manager's job in Los Angeles. What do you hear?
I haven't heard. I'm not probably in those circles to getting inside baseball, literally in this case, inside baseball. But I know her. I know Ng, and she's terrific. And I've been on a panel with her, and she's the real deal. And I think that's the bottom line. This isn't tokenism. This isn't showing favoritism. I mean, at this level, you're not. It's not that. This is a woman who knows baseball as well as anyone, and it's about getting the chance. And that's why I think it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen this year, it will happen soon. So I don't have any inside information, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
I feel optimistic that it's going to happen. I don't see 10 women GMs in Major League Baseball or the NFL or hockey. I don't see that, but I see like everything else, slow but sure steps to the top. I wish it would happen faster. I'm not pleased at all, but I am a glass half full person at the end of the day. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
With Christine Brennan of USA Today. So, and I don't know how to categorize the possibility of Ms. Ng getting a general manager's job and how difficult it would be and what kind of, I mean, this isn't, or is this Jackie Robinson-like? Will there be prejudices out there? Will her job be extraordinarily difficult because she's not just a woman, but the first woman to do this? Can you put that in perspective as to what you as a woman would expect her to experience?
Well, and I've been the first, first woman sports writer at the Miami Herald and woman to cover the Washington Redskins for the Washington Post.
Right.
I think any of us who have been in the business for a while have, as pioneers, or so-called pioneers, with our Conestoga wagons going across the West.
Yes.
I think, we all, really any minority, in the sense women are minorities in the sports world, you know, we've been there and done it. But I would say this, I think she's so well-known, and she's been an assistant GM with the Dodgers and other places. So, I mean, it's not like she doesn't know what she's doing, and it's not like she wouldn't be immediately welcome because they all know her anyway from all the meetings. And any woman at that level is so well known and is such a part of the fabric of the decision making in the game anyway, that to be elevated one more step is not, I mean, it's a huge deal to your point, but it wouldn't be that big of a step for her. She's ready. She knows what she's doing. And as I said, the time we met, we're on a panel together. She's absolutely terrific. So she knows her stuff as well as anyone. And I guess the last point I'd make is it's not just some of these male general managers are doing such a great job, you know, so I think she would be one of the best. I think she's already one of the best minds in baseball. But there's some great, great male minds. But there's also men over the years in baseball, every sport, who've really been terrible and gotten fired or whatever. So I don't know that gender has that much to do with it. Once you open the door to women, and, of course, Title IX, back signed by Richard Nixon in June of 72 in the United States, opened the floodgates to women and the playing fields to girls and women mm-hmm. as never before. And I think we're seeing the result of that now.
I was going to say, Christine, one of the big problems that Kim Ng has is that really it's not 2011 for her. The problem was when she tried to get in the game and when other women tried to get in the game, when the old boys network 20 years ago wouldn't even give them a chance. And she, the development and her development and any other woman that wants to get into the sports operations side, it took them a long time to get accepted on that side as opposed to the business side, correct?
That is true. Oh, absolutely. And there's still an old boys network, and there's still last vestiges of man. You see it on the internet. You see the Neanderthals come out of the woodwork on comments on women's sports or on the work of women's sports journalists or anyone. But since we're talking sports, and you see it in commercials. You know, it's not for women, says one soft drink company. You know, there's, and it's a spoof, but they'd never say that about another group of people. You couldn't ever say that about it's not for pick a minority. You know? So, yeah, oh, it's there. But having said that, there's so many more opportunities. It's better today than it's ever been for women in sports. And tomorrow will be better, and the next day will be better than that. And as I said, that's why in our lifetimes it's going to be very exciting to see, because women by the tens, hundreds of thousands are playing sports, loving sports, learning about sports, just like their brothers were for generations. And men were before for generations. And a lot of these women are going to want to have careers in sports. And I think that's what we're seeing here over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years in our culture and our society.
And as you said, there's people like Susan O'Malley and Amy Trask, who basically runs the Raiders. Mm-hmm. They've done a remarkable job wherever they've been.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know Susan O'Malley quite well, no longer with the Washington Wizards, but absolutely. You know, and of course, the reality is you have to be twice as good to get half the credit. You know, my dad told me that, you know, I'm going to have to really be good when I'm starting out as the first woman to do this or that. And that was in journalism, not in the administration of teams. But every woman who's been in this position, this is no surprise. These women just didn't wander on in yesterday. You know, they're ready for this. I've been in hundreds of locker rooms, and when someone asks, oh, wow, should women be in locker rooms? Well, I have to smile. It's like asking, should women vote? That's how dumb that sounds, that question. There are, you know, dozens of women in locker rooms tonight and tomorrow night and you know, Major League Baseball, NHL, they would be if there were the NBA, and NFL, of course, and it's working just fine, and we are prepared for that. Again, we didn't just show up yesterday. We've been preparing our whole lives, as these women executives have been preparing all their lives for these opportunities.
On another front, many of us are chagrined when we feel that the Congress of the United States wastes valuable time sticking its nose in the business of sport. In this case, I think there might be an exception for at least some. Is it time? Are we getting to the? Are we getting close to the point at least where we will see the end of chewing tobacco in the dugouts at Major League Baseball games?
I hope so. I really hope so. I know that, as you know, this was my column in today's USA Today, and people can find it online and at usatoday.com or christinebrennan.com. Sorry about the plug, but
not at all.
In case folks want to read it. And, you know, I started out with the exact theme. Oh, great. You know, Congress once again, you know, leaving the hallowed halls to get involved with the matters and the affairs of baseball. And then I said, and thank goodness they are. Because this is about smokeless tobacco, it's chewing tobacco, which a lot of us don't even think about, but it causes terrible things to happen. It's late. It can cause all kinds of cancer, oral cancer, cancer of the stomach, pancreas, esophagus. It's bad, bad, bad stuff. And the statistics, several U.S. senators are pleading with the players' union to go along with the owners and Bud Selig, and Bud Selig's right on this one, to ban smokeless tobacco from Major League clubhouses and dugouts, and to make sure that it's not on camera. So, I mean, if a guy wants to go and chew at his home, I guess he can do it, to make sure a kid will never see you do this. And here's why. I'm sure there's some people saying, wait a minute, it's legal to use tobacco. You know, since when did the MLB become the tobacco police? Well, a few things. But number one is the role model aspect. Kids learn, especially athletic kids, learn from these athletes, and they watch them very closely. We've known that for years. So they are role models for kids in sports. And since 2003, there's been a 36% rise in high school boys using smokeless tobacco, chewing tobacco. And the number, I believe, it's 15% of all high school boys are using smokeless tobacco, which absolutely blew me away. That there's that much use of smoked tobacco in high schools. And baseball has, I think, a civic right, a corporate right, a cultural responsibility to do the right thing and to make sure these kids get the message they should not be using this stuff, because it impacts all of us, healthcare, everything. It's not just, it's the right thing to do, but it also is part of all of our lives with the way costs are, and they're all our children and the neighborhood kids. And so that's why I think this is a very big deal.
Yeah, I'm not big on, I don't dispute anything you say. I'm not big on the banning of substances necessarily. I'm more inclined to lean towards education. Having said that, I think it's perfectly logical to eliminate the use of smokeless tobacco on the playing field and in the dugout. And we've all walked through dugouts and seen guys with, you know,
Or stepped in,
you know, the spit of this disgusting crap. And I don't know how they do it, and I have no interest in it. I don't know what the appeal is necessarily. It looks really disgusting. But having said that, I'm not real big on banning of you know, individual things, except I do agree with you that there's no need for it in the dugout. There's no need for it on the field. And there's certainly no need for it in front of kids who can be and will be inevitably influenced by those they see in positions such as those held by a professional athlete. So now, having said all this, after that speech, the Congress can't unilaterally do anything about it. And I don't think neither can baseball. This is going to have to be collectively bargained, isn't it?
That's right, and the current contract's up in December, so they'll start again. And we know that the union is a very bulky, uncooperative bunch. I mean, these are the guys who stood in the way for years of steroid testing, performance-enhancing drug testing.
That's right.
And these are health issues. So, yeah, I don't expect the union's going to jump into this, even though I think they should. And, you know, let's face it, all companies, it's not just baseball, are getting really tough on tobacco by the day. And already there is a ban for actual smoking in public. You cannot smoke if you are wear a uniform at baseball, if you play or a manager, whatever, like Jim Leland of the Detroit Tigers. You cannot smoke in the dugout. You can't smoke in front of cameras. You cannot smoke in front of spectators. That's already a rule. So they're already halfway there. And I think eventually they, hopefully public opinion will get the union to go along with the owners on this one.
I'll tell you what, you're not going to dinner with that tobacco lobby in Washington, Christine. I mean, what's going on? I mean, when you consider how much money government makes from tobacco taxes, both in Canada and the United States, I mean...
That's always been the dilemma.
Sure. Government sucks and blows.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, except in this case, yes. I think that the health care costs, I think everyone's waking up to that, don't you think? And I know I'm the most anti-smoking person, never had a cigarette in my hands or in my mouth, ever. And I know lots of people who feel that way and just hate secondhand smoke. So I think it's going the right direction, and I think it seems like Congress even understands that maybe the costs of all that, if you don't have the cancer, lung cancer, whatever, and I realize we're a long way from ever getting rid of that. We will never will. But if you can cut back on it, maybe you save that money. I don't know. But I don't worry about – I don't spend any moments, gentlemen, worrying about the tobacco industry.
Yeah, well
By the way, Christine, are you a little chagrined to see Mark McGwire in the dugout for the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah, you saw that last paragraph of my column?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, nice statement. Well, in fact, I invoked Canada's great name.
Yes, you did, yeah. That's the one that got me, so –
Well, seriously, Mark McGwire perpetrated one of the great frauds in the history of sports. Greatest act of deception, that whole home run chase, it was a complete fraud. He was juiced up. He was taking steroids. He's admitted it. They didn't test then, so we never would have had a test anyway. But he was just an absolutely fraudulent, it was a charade. It was an awful act of deception perpetrated on the public in the United States, Canada, around the world. Anyone who cared about it watched the home run derby of 98. And the fact that he is now as the hitting coach of the Cardinals, sitting there basking in the glory in the dugout in the World Series, a man who had the pathetic apology, a non-apology apology, I said, what's next? Are Canadian Olympic team going to bring Ben Johnson back to coach the sprinters and march into the opening ceremonies in London?
Well, we have an announcement to make. In fact, the Canadian Olympic... No, I'm kidding.
Come on. It's disgusting, and I don't mind saying it. It's absolutely disgusting, and the Canadians have always done it right with Ben. He's not anywhere near anybody, and that's great. And the Americans, you know, we U.S. Baseball nuts, Louis, this man should not be anywhere near baseball. Because he reminds everyone of all the bad stuff that he did.
Well,
and maybe it's a cautionary.
You don't
tale.
Believe in second chances? Come on!
Not for that. Not with that kind of an apology. Well, do you remember his apology?
Oh, I do.
Where he said, "I did take it, but it didn't help me." No, I think we need another apology. Yeah, I'd be the Law and Order candidate if I were running for office. As I'm sure that shocks you to hear that.
No,
but no, absolutely not. Absolutely, I would. Pete Rose is banned for life for betting on baseball. I would have banned McGwire for life, or at least for a long, long time until he apologized properly. And he should not be sitting there in that dugout.
Well, and I'm okay with that as long as you take Tony La Russa with you, because Tony La Russa presided over the druggies in Oakland, including his third base coach, who he took with. And nobody says a damn thing about him. In fact, all they do is praise him for what a great manager he is. He has been, I mean, McGwire at least had public opinion against him and has had the Hall of Fame give him a slap in the head. La Russa has gotten off scot-free, and it's about time somebody talked about that.
Yeah, well, I'll join you there. He said, I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea Mark McGwire was on steroids.
Yeah,
right. And of course, as you mentioned, McGwire and Canseco in Oakland. So
and a few others.
And a few others.
Yeah, that's right. But if I'd had more space in the column, I was going to go after La Russa too. He is.
Well, you can write again another day. Add him to the list.
You got it.
You know what? ChristineBrennan.com, they don't edit you, you know.
That's what I've heard, yes. The management there is pretty good to me.
There you go.
It's always good that you take time for us, Christine. We appreciate it. We'll see you soon, I hope. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Christine Brennan of USA Today. Kipriou is supposed to wander in. I imagine he will.
Eventually.
Hockey, 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 hockey.
Wait, listen, four. They haven't lost yet, Bob.
I told you.
Big Blue. Has it lost?
Chalk outline on Yonge Street for the parade already. first to do it, one win in. It won't be the perfect season, but it'd be really close because that one loss, it just really isn't a loss.
OL. It's an OL.
It's so far over to the right.
Yeah.
Most people won't even.
It's an OL.
It. 20 past the hour. Kipper next when Primetime continues on The Fan and Sportsnet.
Blue Jay slugger Jose Bautista joins Mike Wilner to take your calls on the pregame show tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hamburger, cheeseburger, Pepsi, no Coke. It is Nick Kyprios.
We're fighting to get...
Nick.
We're fighting to get chewing tobacco out of Hockey Central, too, okay?
Did you bring a kek?
I love when you go to the Danforth.
No kek?
You Greek? No, back of the line. Back of the line. You Greek? Okay, inside. You Greek? No, back of the line.
It's true.
So what's no chew? No chew on this set anymore?
No,
Is this Greg Zahn we're talking about?
No, I have no comment about that. I'm just talking about Hockey Central.
Zahnie was chewing in here.
He was. I know he had chaw going yesterday when
Isn't
we were talking
Is there a law
him.
Against that? No. Or is that just cigarettes?
There's no law against anything.
Well, you can't smoke inside.
No, that's true.
I assume by association you shouldn't be allowed to chew inside either.
No, you still can use your chaw right now.
You can.
Our friend Christine's going to get that fixed, though.
So what's going on?
A lot of confidence in her.
Big week, big stars, Keither Sutherland.
You like that,
Warren,
huh?
Moon. Now you're down to Nick Kyprios.
An endless stream of powerful and interesting
powerful,
people.
Powerful.
Well, we've had more than that. Who else do we have in here? We've had all kinds of people in here.
Humble. Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred were in here yesterday?
I'm a bigger star than Humble and Fred.
No, you're not.
Oh. I used to do that show all the time.
Did you?
All the time.
Really?
Yes. Used to help them
out.
Used
to go into studio?
I used to go in studio on Yonge Street.
Wow.
And that was the 102.1.
Paul Tracy was on the other day.
The Edge. Was that what they
it
were?
It still is, actually. Yep.
No, but when
they were there.
When they were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul Tracy.
Susan Sarandon was on the other
Susan
day.
Susan Sarandon. She used to always come to the green room in New York.
Susan and Tim?
Every once in a while, she'd say, you know, I'm going to bring a friend. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. Bruce Springsteen would be her friend.
Yeah. Dennis Miller was in studio.
Come in. Hey, that's a pretty cool ring. Can I try it on? I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, you can try on my Stanley Cup ring.
It's the boss, man.
You're the boss.
So can we get to hockey now?
Yes, we can.
I don't want to have you lead us somewhere.
Where are we going? Where do you want to go?
You want to lead him to the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, I was going to because
I don't want to.
Okay. Okay, because he made quite an outrageous statement yesterday.
What did
he
say?
He said,
"Okay, wait a sec. Maybe I do." What did you say?
I don't know. I've made a few of those, John. Can you be more specific, please?
Well, I think it was the comparisons of Phil Kessel to Alexander Ovechkin.
What?
I said his moves.
You can't even spit it out now, can you?
No, Ovechkin-like.
You were kind of a little more insistent than that.
No, I was not, John. I said, if you look at the way he can go in and make a rush or score an individual goal, it is Ovechkin-like.
That's where the comparison should stop, though.
Yeah, I didn't say he's a force like him. He certainly can't bowl people over like him, but... When you look at certain individual efforts, they are as good as anyone's in the league right now. Is that such a stretch, John?
I think the Ovechkin like is a little much. But I will say that...
I think he's way better than Ovechkin right now.
He's been good,
who's
John.
Leading, you can't, who's the leading score in the National Bleepin' Hockey League?
And the majority of his goals, and it's a double-edged sword because at times those individual lanes dry up real quick. And Ovechkin's had some problems here the last year, a year now going into this year. He's snake-bitten too. And what happens is those individual lanes that you've been accustomed to kind of dry up on you every once in a while, and then you got to find a way to use your teammates.
Kessel had an assist the other day.
A great assist.
That wasn't as a result of a rebound.
Great assist.
Yeah.
To Leupold. And right now
an assist.
No, just an assist.
He's got a pretty complete game going right now.
The one thing I would say about Kessel is
wait and see.
I see more emotion out of Phil Kessel on the ice than I've ever seen in his career. And I actually see him enjoying himself. He's never been a guy, and you know him better than I do, you know of him better than I do, Nick. He's never been one to actually think that he enjoys the game of hockey, but it's coming across right now he's actually enjoying himself.
I think at times he's come across aloof and a guy that says, well, whatever happens today, it doesn't matter. There's always tomorrow. And you're right. You're right. I think it comes with maturity. I think it comes with the fact that he realizes now after a couple of years what it means to be a Toronto Maple Leaf and how the pressure's on you. And you know what? The things that he's probably heard in the last year and a half haven't been very good. Haven't been very good. Nor does it lead to a good night's sleep either.
And not to stick any pins in any balloons here, because he's done a fine job and it's very exciting for him and for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But this is a guy who historically has run hot or cold, either very hot or very cold.
For sure.
So,
for sure.
Right now he's very hot.
Wait,
and
did he go
let's
14
see.
Games yeah, without 14 a goal last year? That's a lot of games.
For a goal scorer, it is a lot of games. Like for you, that would be nothing.
And that's the difference between a team making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. So, you know, if you can avoid those stretches and keep them to a minimum, find a way to score 40 important goals opposed to 40 that aren't in the vicinity of a game-tying goal or game-winning goal, a goal that gets back in a hockey game, then, you know what, he'll be okay.
The out in Vancouver, there is a great angst. And the angst, of course, is over the goaltender, Roberto Luongo. And this is not new angst. There's been angst about him for an extended period of time, dating back before the Vancouver Olympic Games. And continues. And, of course, the Vancouver Canucks are insisting on standing up and defending this guy.
They have no choice.
They
have no choice.
But you know what? Methinks thou dost protest too much. I think it's quite obvious that Roberto Luongo isn't the guy he was in the early days as a Vancouver Canuck and as a Florida Panther and before that.
You know what? He may be the guy that continues to be a guy that can put some great numbers up and have a pretty good regular season. And when it comes to those high-pressure games, he might be a guy that doesn't deliver.
Well, let me tell you what.
I mean, he never really had it. His reputation and his ability has always been based on the potential.
Right.
Or recently his numbers with a pretty deep Vancouver Canuck team. It was never based on a reputation.
Well, and I can tell you the other thing that was said when he was in Florida, too. What was said was, imagine how good this guy could be if he had a team in front of him. Well, and then he plays on a team that is a team in front of him, and he ain't that good. This is a guy with an .856 save percentage, 3.7 goals against average in games that aren't pressure games. These are regular season, beginning of regular season games. That's not a big sample size. That's four games. That's, you know, it's not enough to judge a guy's career on. But if you include the playoffs last year, a good portion of the regular season last year, the season before, and the Olympics, I think we're getting a pretty good picture that he isn't what you thought he was. If the Olympic Games were next week,
honestly,
would he be one of your three goaltenders?
No, he would not.
Thank you very
much. He would not. And I'm not sitting here to argue that what you're saying isn't necessarily at least partially true.
Right.
But he has been a pretty good goalie in the past. I mean, there's some nights that he's played well over the last few years. Mm-hmm. Would I have been signing him to a $60 million contract over what, John?
12.
12 years?
It was 12 years originally.
12 years? No, I would not have done that contract.
If you're Vancouver and you had a game to win tonight, would he be your goaltender?
He would be mine.
Wow.
I think he's still the number one goalie there.
John, you have no choice. Mike Gillies has no choice. Mike Gillies has no choice.
Forget the contract. Forget the contract. Forget the history.
How can you forget the contract? How can you forget the contract? Because if you forget the contract, you would have benched him by now. You would have benched him.
Yeah.
And there's also the same argument. I could make the same argument for Schneider, who was given the starting job in the most important game of the first round of the series against Chicago last year and cramped up. I mean, those are the same issues. They may have goaltender issues, but don't go and say that a 25 game guy can be your number one goalie. The one thing you know
so
about
would you play Luongo because you don't think Schneider is a suitable replacement? Is that why you play Luongo?
If you gave me a choice of those two guys and I had one game to win, I'm playing number one.
Oh, okay.
And
he scares the hell out of me. I wouldn't.
Yeah, right now he scares a lot of people, a lot of Vancouver fans.
I'm not saying I wouldn't be nervous.
Is there a goaltender that scares you more before a game starts? A goaltender you look at and go,
you know
Jesus,
what?
I don't know whether this guy could do
his
it.
His problem, he's a talented guy, but his problem is mental. His problem
Well, then he's
is,
not talented anymore.
The other problem is if you
his
look
body
at
body language, whoa. His inability to cover up a loose puck. He puts his glove on it. He misses the puck.
Kipper, I mean, he's got demons.
He's battling right now. He's battling.
The one thing I will tell you from a historical point of view, there are two cities in the National Hockey League that eat goaltenders up. Vancouver and Detroit. They eat them for breakfast. The fans, the media.
Montreal's pretty close too.
Well, except that
they got Carey Price.
I tell you what, no. If you're Quebecois, you got a pass. But I would tell you that Vancouver, over the years, you look at the history of the franchise. They turned on goalies if they didn't eat the right eggs at breakfast.
Osgood hung in there though in Detroit.
He played three different times there. They brought him back.
I know, but
every time, Curtis Joseph, Dom Hasek, Bob Bissinza, over the years, he
hung in there long enough to not really give up the bad goal that convinces everybody that.
But that was when they changed the philosophy. He said, we're not going to waste on goalies. We're going to have really expensive defensemen, and he's never going to see a rebound.
Look, here's what I know is possible. It is possible that a guy could be a world-class, number one, maybe best in the game goaltender. And then not be later on. I think we're later on.
Yeah.
I think that's where we are. I acknowledge what he was at one point.
But now.
But I'm not convinced. I think there's enough body of evidence to say he ain't that guy anymore.
You've now played right into Nick's hands because because
I've never done that.
Because of the contract.
Yeah.
They're married. I mean,
they're married.
Yeah. I mean,
they're dead.
There is no prenup.
Then they're dead.
There is a prenup, and it's all in Luongo's favor.
And in a perfect world, what you needed to do is just continue to build up Corey Schneider's stock.
Yeah,
and then move him for that piece that you could sit there and say is going to put us over the hump.
That'll be another goaltender.
I don't know whether or not they can do that now.
Well,
they are in a tough one right now.
It is a tough spot.
The players do not have confidence. And Luongo,
doesn't have confidence in himself.
And the fans don't, and his body language suggests that he doesn't himself. You're absolutely right.
Beyond Schneider, they have the best goalie in the American League, Eddie Lack, sitting there waiting to, I guess, either be moved up or be traded now.
The greatness of a general manager is one who will acknowledge his faux pas or his mistakes and say, I made this mistake, but I can't.
Or take the hit for the owner.
I need my
take the hit.
Greek buddy Alex Anthopoulos to get in there and move that contract.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Right?
Yep.
Mike Gillies has got to call him up and say, how did you move Vernon Wells again?
Well, I got the other guy fired, though. Got the other general manager of the Angels fired, so.
Kiprios, nice to see you.
I wish I could say the same.
It's Mr. Hockey tonight.
Bring Pepsi next.
Yeah, what do we got on the network, John?
We've got Ottawa.
I got Ottawa and Winnipeg.
We got Vancouver.
And you got...
And then we got Edmonton and Minnesota.
Wow.
It's a big night. And Hockey Central.
Hockey pucks everywhere.
And we're going to squeeze in a World Series, too,
sure,
are we
why not?
Not?
Doug
what
McClain,
a network.
Doug McClain misses last call tonight. He's working with us.
20 before the hour. Kiprios is going to makeup and for a nap. We'll come back with more Primetime. We'll continue on The Fan and Sportsnet.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
got hockeyed out yet, Shannon?
Never. Never. I would say though that I would actually not play Gustafson tonight.
Well, I don't. Well, just I think keep playing the hot hand.
Why not? Why not? You know, Reimer played after.
But at some point, you gotta. Yeah. He's not gonna play 82, is he?
No, but you know they had a week. They had a week off last week. I you know what? I know that this is their first real back to back of the season. Play Reimer if they want to. Gustafson's record in Montreal wasn't bad, actually. That was one of the places where he had the heart palpitations. I mean, when he was shutting the Canadians out, I'd play him in Montreal first before I'd play him tonight. Reimer, the Reimer is one of the chances they have to beat the Bruins, who are very angry right now after the way they've been treated. And Phil Kessel coming to town. I'd play Reimer tonight. I really would. And then play Gustafson somewhere else. But you
well,
have
so you
to...
you think the coach is an idiot, right? Is that what you're saying?
I think he could be more pleasant, but I think Reimer...
You're saying he can't coach worth a damn. He's making yet another major mistake.
If you asked me which goaltender gives them the best chance to win tonight in Boston... I'm saying it's James Reimer. It's not Jonas Gustafson.
Well, I would agree with that.
Well, so your first road game...
These are goaltenders that are alive? Because Terry Sawchuk would be at the top of my list.
You are old.
Well, yeah.
But I'd play Reimer.
So this is the... As the Leafs get their first saliva test, because let's be honest... This is all asterisk so far. I mean, I'm
not
trying to diminish the significance of this. You got to beat the nobodies. You have to do that.
Yep.
And you have to win on home ice with some regularity. And they've had the softest of soft starts that you could possibly have. They haven't had a single game against a team that is even in their class, and their class is fighting for a playoff spot.
They played four teams out of five that weren't playoff teams last year. And the only team that they...
Montreal was the only team.
Right.
And Montreal was, like, horrible in that first game.
Yes. And I do think that it's probably a little bit of a concession that to give the Leafs five straight home games to start the season, you better give us some games that we can win.
Well, they did that too.
Yeah.
So look at wins or wins.
Yep. It's the first. They passed the first test.
You bet.
Yeah.
But now, here we go. Tonight's the beginning.
Well, they play Boston tonight, Montreal on the road on Saturday, which is always big. And then they go to Philly and the Rangers next week. And it's the first game at MSG for the Rangers after being away. And Philadelphia is really playing well right now.
Well, they're a good team. I mean, they...
Even with their changes.
Even with the changes and even with, you know, this may not be their... They may not be the best they'll be this year.
No, and they're going to only get better.
They're still pretty good.
They're just going to get better.
Well, because they're very young, right?
They are, and the changes, I mean, usually people say it takes time to be familiar with each other, and they've got a goaltender that Brizgalov's played well. The other goalie, Bobrovsky's played well, too, and Braden Schenn's back with the team.
And I understand where you're coming from on the goaltending situation. The only thing I would say to you is, well, maybe it supports your point of view. What do you do if Gustafson goes in and gives up four in a big hurry?
Well, you're going to put Reimer in for the second period.
And then where are you after that?
Well, in my opinion, you're worse off. I mean,
you're looking like, what do we do?
Yeah,
like,
go with the hot
now
hand.
Now we don't even have a backup.
Right. Yeah. The other thing with the Maple Leafs that I don't think's really received enough attention is that last night, Carl Gunnarsson and Jake Gardner played over 25 minutes each. Mike Komisarek played just over 13, and Luke Schenn didn't even play 12. And last I checked, Carl Gunnarsson and Jake Gardner aren't on big contracts, and the other two guys are. They probably made the right choice putting Gardner and Gunnarsson. They were much more effective in a faster game. But they've got a lot of money tied up in two guys that can't seem to keep up with the game. And that's the other challenge the Leafs have. Winnipeg and Colorado came in with a lot greater foot speed than the other three teams and did very well.
So you said Shannon, who? Komisarek?
Komisarek, yeah. 1333
Well, commissaric, we sort of, I think there would be those who would say, well, we get sort of get the commissaric. Shen, you've seen that. The Shen
this
thing
is two games in a row, Bob.
Yeah, this is, there's something interesting going on there.
Yeah, there is.
And I mean, we better figure it out.
He's in the doghouse, and this is after signing a huge contract for this club, and in many ways, they've said this guy's going to be the next captain of the team after Dion leaves.
Ahead, Dewey Bozella, 26 years in prison for a murder he did not commit. While he's in prison, he works out, gets in shape, and dreams of the opportunity to have a professional fight. He gets out of prison, goes and has the professional fight, and wins it. He says, I only have one, and he does it. Dewey Bozella will join us to talk about his story tonight on the program. Also, Charles Grantham, the former executive director of the NBA Players Association. There's a chance that they're making some progress in the talks. And Jason Cole of Yahoo Sports. What to expect from Tim Tebow? I don't expect anything.
Lots of incomplete passes.
Might be true. Primetime continues in a moment.